has always been and always will be a reflection of the world right outside our window. That world may change and evolve, but the one thing that will never change is the way we tell our stories of heroism. Those stories have room for everyone, regardless of their race, gender, religion, or color of their skin. The only things we don't have room for are hatred, intolerance, and bigotry. That man next to you, he's your brother. That woman over there, she's your sister. And that kid walking by, hey, who knows? He may have the proportionate strength of a spider. We're all part of one big family, the human family, and we all come together in the body of Marvel. Smoke. Oh, gee, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, gee, little G, y'all know that's Mr. Stan Lee. All right, so don't get it twisted, you know what I'm saying? That's right, all of the comic books, y'all know who he is. That's right.
I'm just fascinated. This is his weekday watch. You should see the one he wears on weekends.
That's right, that's right. That's right, that's right. Just like his brand new company now, you know what? It's called Pow. Pow, 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 pow. 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 That's right, that's Mr. Stanley's company right now.
What does it stand for?
That's right. People on Wow.
You strange person. It stands for Purveyors of Wonder.
Purveyors of
How's
wonder.
That?
Purveyors of wonder. That's what POW means. That's Mr. Stanley's new company.
And you can feel free to say that anytime. You have my permission. What?
We got to get going.
We got to go. I don't want to go.
No, hold on. I'm going to do the interview.
Oh, that's right. The interview. I'm sorry.
Nobody.
Yo, Tabo!
A number of people have been worried about my left hand, and I really appreciate their concern because they noticed that I wasn't using it in a normal way. It was injured. This hand is now fine. I've no problem with it at all. But strangely enough, there seems to be something going along with this hand. I'll figure it out, but it's very mysterious, really.
Yo, yo, what up? You already know who it is. It's your boy, Lord.
Yo.
At LD on IG. DJ Theme, what up, bro?
What's going on, man? Yo, another episode. Another episode of Quality Time. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I see all you guys. We got a lot to talk about today, so we're going to keep the intro short. But wherever you listening to us at, YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever, we appreciate each and every single one of y'all.
Every time.
So, without further ado, let's get this episode rolling, man. First things first, we experienced a really big loss today in comic book and just art world in general, man. Stan Lee, 95 years old. He lived a great life. You can't be mad at it. It's just whack that it happened. You know, we definitely would not have wanted to see that, but, you know, he definitely did a lot for our culture.
That's a fact. He did not even just our culture. Well, if you're talking about the human race, then yeah, our culture. You feel what I'm saying? Because I realized just from watching little clips, first and foremost, let me start out by saying I'm not the biggest, like, comic book head out there. Keep it a buck. Like, I'm more with animes, if anything. You feel me? That was my route, like DBZ and shit like that. You feel me? Like, Hey Arnold and shit like that. You feel me? But
yeah.
Stan Lee and Marvel, like, who doesn't know Spider-Man?
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? Who really doesn't know Marvel? You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that affected everybody's life in some way, whether it's just you had something to do when you came home from school as a kid. You feel me? So out on the street or some shit. You feel me? You at home watching some shit Stan Lee came up with. So look at how many different ways one man could impact a life. You feel me? So many people emulating him. Now you got black comic book creators. Like, I believe there's one dude named Barris on IG, O-B-A-I-R-I-S, something like that. Nice dude. There's a bunch that I think, like, Guala ENT, something like that, Gualatainment, something like that. There's a bunch of people out here trying to emulate the greatness that this man laid forth with the other forefathers and, you know, people from DC and all that. But
absolutely.
Like, when a titan of the industry like that passes everybody feeling. You feel what I'm saying? So rest in power, Stan Lee. You feel me? Like, you've been out here for 95 years doing this thing.
Killing it.
Right. You feel me? Can't skip for more. All them cameos in the Marvel movies and shit, hilarious. You felt like that was one of, like, your grandfather. You feel me? Like, pull up on him and probably light him up or some shit. He just tell you mad classic stories.
That's so true.
Remember his life. You feel me?
Absolutely. And speaking of remember him, man, there's a quote that's been going around through social media that was from Stan Lee, where he says, "I used to be embarrassed because I was just a comic book writer while other people were building bridges or going on medical careers. And then I began to realize entertainment is one of those most important things in people's lives. Without it, they might go off in the deep end. I feel that if you're able to entertain people, you're doing a good thing." And when I read that, it kind of hit me in a place from being an entertainer myself, you know, and you, I'm sure you as being an artist as well, that entertainment as a whole is just so important in our day to day. Like you mentioned, how it just affected it even beyond just the Stan Lee and the Marvel movies. You have the Hey Arnolds, you have the SpongeBob, you have the animes, all of that stuff always hits people in a place where they relate to it and it becomes part of their day to day sometimes. And, you know, when I read that, it just moved me because as being a person that's in, like I said, a person being in entertainment, it definitely struck a chord with me. How about you?
Honestly and truly, it definitely strikes a chord with me too, bro, because like you, I'm in the entertainment too. I'm trying to do the music thing. And like all in total, it's one gigantic, I guess, mini culture in and of itself. You feel me? Because like the clip you just showed, which is crazy, you see. Black Eyed Peas, Stan Lee, and Flav. Like, who would have thought? And they did talk, and you heard him. He like, you're a weird individual. You know, he wanted to say some crazy shit, like, this fucking nigga, some shit like that. You feel me? Like that, and you could tell, like he touched so many people in different ways. So it's like the impact somebody like that has goes far beyond just their initial like career path or like the industry that they're in. You feel me? It touches everyone, and especially with social media and stuff like that, and the world getting more and more connected, it's only just more opportunity for more people to get involved, more people to know who you are and stuff like that. So
absolutely,
it's crazy. Like it's crazy. People need to really love what they're doing and connect with other people that they know love what they're doing. Because that's the only way we're going to, like, keep the world going. You feel me? That's the only way we're going to get better as a society. That's the only way we're going to make each other laugh, become comfortable with each other, start to know each other, and stop fearing each other. You feel me?
100%.
Something that's like a comic book. Matter of fact, an anime. What was it? I think Spider-Man or, like, Red Dead Redemption or some shit. Everybody know them shits. You feel me? They just dropped. So I went to go cop one of them shits, and my man was in the store. He asked me to do some shit, so I did some shit for him with my car and whatnot. And then there was a next dude in there, and he said something about like Zoids or like some other anime. And mind you, I didn't know this nigga owned the wall. Like both, like totally complete opposite strangers. You feel me? Because he said that, I was like, "What?" I was like, "What, you fuck with that shit?" He was like, "Yeah." I was like, I ain't think nobody else fucked with that. You feel me? And me and him started politicking for like a good 10 minutes. And I don't know this man from nowhere, but at the end, dapping each other up and shit. So it's like culture is such a great tool.
It goes to show that like somebody's creation can bring people together like that. Where you've never met this person before ever, but because y'all had a common relation on a piece of art, you guys were able to relate to each other. And, you know, I just want to, like, bring it back to the quote. Let me pull it back up. Where he says, like, if you feel like you're able to entertain people, you're doing a good thing. And then before, like, he says, without it, they might go off on the deep end. And just like with some animes and a lot of this, a lot of music, too, is we use it as an outlet. Like, regular people, not me and you, but, like, regular people, all y'all that's tuned in right now, I'm sure you guys have used music as an outlet at some point in your life. And I can tell you from being, like, a DJ, I could tell you my perspective where it's like when it comes to entertainment is we're one of the people that changes somebody's night. Like, we can make your night great or we can make your night bad, depending on depending on our skill level. But
yo,
I'm just saying, depending on the skill level of the DJ, I'm not calling shots, I'm not saying anything, but depending on the skill level, they can really alter how a night goes. There's a reason why people say after like a breakup or after they lose a job or something, yo, let's go out and let's go have a good time. If our job, and it doesn't even matter if it's even a club or a wedding, it could be a club, a party, but you also have weddings. You got things for some weddings are one of the biggest nights of some people's lives. And the DJ decides what happens with that, like where it's going to go. And the fact that you can change and alter somebody's night like that is a lot of power that art and entertainment has on people, and how we can just affect the way how people's lives are going to be. We got a couple people that are tuning in right now. I see all of you guys. Jim Rummy, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in again. He said, bro, you'd be surprised who watches anime. I've known some pretty street dudes go crazy over it. We all relate to it because that's our childhood. Music linked people through emotions, especially. 100% the part where we relate to it, because that's our childhood. Some growing up, me and you have spoke about this. Like, hold on, can yo talk again? Can I hear you right now? Think you're yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, I hear you now. But
that's a fact. So Jen.
Yeah. Sub team energy. What's going on? Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in, man. Like, happy to have you here. If you have anything you guys want to say, feel free to use the chat. We are responding. We are talking with everybody that is in here. Let us know how you guys feel about art and entertainment with the culture and how it changes people and Stan Lee's impact on everything. But to go to the whole relate thing that that Jin just said is when Stan Lee created certain characters, they were part of things that were happening in society. Like, you look at Professor X and you look at Magneto, that was Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And you to be able to do that and create a hero that you could look at, and now people are looking up to, now this whole civil rights movement becomes relatable to a younger person who's looking up to these heroes, and now they want to make a change. And that's powerful. That's powerful to do.
That's powerful on so many levels, bro, because representation matters. Like, no matter, like, think about it like this: America was founded because representation mattered. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So put that, if you want to put it in simple terms, that shit matters. If I grow up and I see fucking Black Lightning and Cyborg or whoever, whatever black superhero there is out there, and I'm seeing that on a constant basis, I'm going to think, oh shit, like, my heroes look like me.
Yes.
Can be something incredible because look at my heroes doing that. You think when people don't see Superman, it doesn't make them feel like, yo, I can do anything, you feel me? In the back of your head, when you on some shit like, I could do anything, you think, yo, I'm Superman, you feel me? That says enough in and of itself. You didn't say, yo, I'm God, or you didn't say, yo, I'm whoever the hell else they hold in high regard.
Even more than just the heroes that you're seeing, that the superheroes, bring it back to music.
Jen Rummy said it starts the I can be a hero mentality.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I was about to get into, is even beyond the Supermans and the Spider-Mans, you look up, let's use music. You look and you see a Jay-Z at the top hanging out with Barack Obama, and you're like, wow, yo, this was the same guy that was rapping about doing drugs. Maybe I could do that too. Maybe I could make my way out the hood. Maybe I could be a better person. So having these people to look up to, and Subteen Energy says everyone definitely has their own representation of a hero. Exactly.
You know what's crazy? What you saying about the hero and people to look up to thing, right? Just earlier, I mean, it might seem problematic and some people might feel a way about it, but it's like, it's not a slight at anyone. It's more like a, yo, 444, my nigga, Jay-Z, like, uplift yourself. Feel me? Like level up, you feel me? Like, just earlier in my stories I was saying, like, there's a lot of niggas out here that's like scamming and shit like that. And what, at the end of the day, this is fucking America, you feel me? So get your money. Like, if that's what you gotta do, get your money. Nobody can ever knock you for getting your money. But when you do get that shit, what the fuck are you gonna, what did you do it for, you feel me? Like, did you do buy some clothes so you could go sit around your other men's that don't got nothing and be like, yo, look at this fly shit. Mm-hmm. So now your other man is envious or your other man's want to do the same shit so he could buy clothes. You feel me? Yeah. It's not like, niggas need to think about shit like the Kennedys. You feel me? That where it was niggas that they was bootlegging at the time, running in liquor when it was illegal to. Mm-hmm. They got all that illegal bread and then turned it into becoming a political empire. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, to this day, everyone knows the name Kennedy. You mm-hmm. feel me? That shit didn't come from somebody busting their ass out of 9 to 5. It mm-hmm. came from illegal activity. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So while we do it, we don't turn around and say, all right, we're going to make something great out of this.
Mm.
It's because we don't have the fucking representation. You feel Absolutely. Me? A lot of
yeah.
niggas that do that shit don't turn around and reach back into the hood. Don't turn around mm. and do certain things on a grand scale or make like legit business opportunities for people. Mm-hmm. It's more, yo, I made it out. My peoples is good. We good. It's not, let's lift the whole fucking community up. You feel, mm. you feel? That's where 100%. Niggas feel short all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if you're going to get your bread. But once you're good, mm-hmm. you got to reach back, my nigga. You 100%. Got to reach back. If we had more people representing that, mm-hmm. that would be the norm. Because you think about it like immigrants. Mm-hmm. The norm is for you to think they come over here from overseas, from the islands, from wherever. You feel me? Mm-hmm. When they get here, they work their ass off. And then they send bread back to...
To home, where back, yeah, back to where they came from, yeah.
Well, what you call them shits? Remittance.
Yeah,
you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you send bread back to the islands and whatnot. Why? Because you're trying to help uplift the people back there. Because mm-hmm. you know what it's like. So we know what it's like where we live. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we do that for ourselves?
Mm. And that's a great point that you bring up with everything, because when artists do try to show that and say like, oh, you can do more, you can be more. Sometimes some people look at it and they look down on it and say like, oh, what are you talking about? Like, you don't know what it's like or stuff like that. But the thing is, one of my things is I believe it's people being comfortable in their positions. And, you know, like you said, you have the people that are scamming, but they get used to saying, yo, I'm getting a whole bunch of money right here. Why would I change it up? Why would I risk? Because they see it now as a risk to take this money and now put it into something lucrative like real estate or starting a business or starting a franchise. Why not do that? So
simple rebuttal. My bad.
No, go ahead.
Rebuttal. Mm-hmm. You're taking a risk regardless.
Exactly.
Felony time. That's felony time. Mm-hmm. That's the bigger risk, because that's your. If you get an F for about 10 years, your life is fucked.
Mm.
Let me just start there. For about mm-hmm. 10 years after you come out of jail, if you go to jail, mm-hmm. you feel me? And that's for one F, and that's a maybe, because it might take 15 years, nigga, and you might end right back the fuck in there. So it's like, which one are you? You gonna roll the dice regardless? This is the game of life, right?
Yeah,
that's what they call it. Roll the dice regardless.
Yo, it's all a game.
Exactly. It's a complete
Jin says those are all good risks, though. They are. Like you say, it is. But for some people, they don't want to do that. Like you said, they're gonna continue to scam. They're gonna continue to get their money in an illegal way, and it doesn't help them. And by the way, thank you everybody that's tuned in. Let us know everything. Let us know your thoughts right now. But going back to the comfort thing as well is when I gotta put this together. I want to put this together the right way to get into this. You know where I'm going though. When people are comfortable in these positions, I feel like sometimes they're wasting what they are capable of. And that's why I look up to somebody like Stan Lee. Like, I wasn't a diehard comic book fan, but growing up, I read a lot of comics. When the Marvel movies came out, I watched all of them, not most of them. I seen every single one of them. And to see what one person, plus the help of a lot of other people, but to see how one person's idea can flourish into this thing, you're talking years and years later to this big, huge market, just shows that he trusted his process and kept pushing it forward. And for me, it kind of gets me upset now when I see like a Stan Lee pass and makes a quote like that, like I just read, and he's talking about art affecting people, and are affecting people in a great way. When you're having a bad day, you go and you listen to music. Now there's people out here that aren't taking their talents and trying to push it forward because of that comfort, where they're stick to their 9-to-5 job instead of saying, yo, I'm gonna put 110% in to me wanting to be a rapper. Be a rapper. I don't care. Be a rapper. Me wanting to be a DJ. I don't care. Be a DJ. Go ahead. Go do it. But make sure everything that you're doing, you're putting 110% into it, because you can be. It's not just about you anymore. You're now influencing millions of other people if you continue to get to where you got to. Think about how much artists' music has gotten people through rough times, like XXXTentacion. You look at him when he dropped his 17 album, and he mentioned that girl Jocelyn Flores on that album, and she committed suicide. But that got people through stuff. If he never did that, there's somebody out there that wouldn't have been able to hear that song and get them through that. So my whole point is to stop being comfortable and push forward with what your talents are. You never know who you might affect.
You know what's kind of crazy about that is the American way is the exact opposite of that. Mm-hmm. Just get comfortable, baby. Just make sure that you pay your taxes.
Nah,
you
know, bump that.
Like, get complacent, nigga. Go bump to that 9-to-5 every day. Come home, deal with your kids, go to sleep, do it again.
And just then die.
You feel me? So it's hard to fight against fucking a whole society geared towards you being cookie cutter, you feel me? Mm-hmm. Geared towards you conforming to what they want. So you can definitely say it has a lot to do with people's complacency, but can't really blame them when society is really made around them being complacent and comfortable. Because you think about, like, back in the day when you had to hunt for your own food and stuff like that, you're not going to find somebody that's going to be like, yo, I'm a potato, a couch potato. Or, you know, I'm watching TV all day. Nah, because when your belly rumble, you're going to be like, fuck, what am I going to eat? But you got to go catch it yourself.
Exactly. So
you feel me?
Exactly.
Yo, not a zero. What's goody, bro? 100.
Yo, Dre, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Yo, shout out to everybody that's tuned in right now. Jen says, that's why you should work a 9-to-5 and invest that money into your craft. Yeah, I'm not saying not to work a 9-to-5. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, if you know you have a talent for something, you should be doing it. Stop wasting your talent when you could be affecting thousands, millions of people, a whole world that you could be saving lives for because you're comfortable with your 9-to-5. That's what I'm saying. Work your job by all means. Get like I was about to say, like Eldad said, work your job, get your money. However, make sure whatever you're doing with that, you're using your talents. If you know how to rap, if you know how to write comic books, you know how to do something, put it out. It doesn't matter the form of the art. The art is going to inspire somebody at some point in time.
Facts. That's the thing. People don't understand that all of us are fucking archivists. Like, all of us, if you look back, any one of us at any point in time, when niggas all pass away or some shit, and the couple generations after is looking back like, yo, what motivated niggas in 2018? Like, it's going to be us that they look at. You feel me? Like, this shit is deeper than just putting shit out. It's almost like a social responsibility, but a lot of people don't look at it like that for whatever reasons, and you can't really blame everyone, because not everyone can even connect the pieces on that level.
100%.
And that's not their fault if they, one, either don't know, or two, like, just if they just don't got it in them to do it like that. So you can't hold them for it. But like, when it does work, it's a beautiful thing. And people definitely have kind of a responsibility to themselves and to the world to keep creating. Like, I love to see people's creations.
Absolutely.
I love to be there when someone wants to do something outside of the box, outside of what society as a whole wants us to do. You feel me?
Yeah.
That's the purpose.
That's what Stan Lee did, like he said in that quote. He said everybody was building bridges. Just to go to the comments real quick.
Oh, man.
You got them up, because I kind of just left the chat real quick. But start...
Alex says, yeah, I do that 9-to-5, but I'm still focused on my dreams. Hear you, sir. So
There we go.
Jen Ruby said, find people you're good at working with and live together to save money. If you can scam, then you legally finesse the system, right?
Good point.
Put it back into yourself so you could create opportunities for other people.
Exactly.
word of the motherfucking day is opportunity, my nigga. You feel what I'm saying? Like,
talk about it. Talk about it.
That's what the fuck we supposed to be out here trying to do, my nigga. We gotta change this shit. Mm-hmm. Somebody gotta change this shit, my nigga. Mm-hmm. And if it ain't them, it gotta be us. We gotta stop marching and crying and bitching and complaining. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck that. Pick yourself up and do it your goddamn self. It's enough of us, B. It's mm-hmm. enough of us. Mm-hmm. And nobody is not enough of us for us to actually affect some real change out of it.
100%.
Like, just got to do it. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Acting like Alex says, you can't be stagnant. Jen Rummy says, they rack up in Ohio and have like 10 people in the crib paying $100 a month because they got sense. Mm-hmm. Like Alex says, there's a phrase, you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Facts, mm-hmm. bro. It's because no type of revolution is peaceful. You feel me? No type of revolution.
No type of growth.
Even going from one relationship to other mm-hmm. ain't peaceful. You feel me? No matter how good you and your ex ended, mm-hmm. you still gonna have thoughts about them. You still gonna have some kind of
talk about
dissonance,
it.
Mm-hmm. Like dissonance in your life. Yeah, I'm throwing them words out there, nigga.
I love it.
I see you, Zaya. Let me see. Tony Montana, thank you. I see you. Jin Rummy, true. If you're uncomfortable all the time, then you get used to pushing through the pressure. You can get used to it and constantly bring progress. And pressure busts pipes, but it also make diamonds, my nigga. So mm-hmm. it does, oh my lord.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%. So, you know, I want to kind of go into the next topic that we were going to talk about. Just to wrap that up. Thank you, everybody who's tuned in. Thank you for all your thoughts and everything. But just to wrap it up of the Stan Lee quote. That he said he used to be embarrassed because he was just a comic book writer while other people were building bridges or going on to medical careers. And just the word that he used, embarrassed, kind of like I look at it in today's society. And even though I'm saying all of this, I do feel like sometimes it's people, the whole uncomfortable thing. People are afraid of being embarrassed and embarrassing themselves and making that first step. And I think some of it has to do with social media and the access that people have today, how it works for us, but it also works against us. When we do put out a piece of art, we have right away people can judge it. What you got? What you got? You look like you got something, bro, right now.
The reason why I laugh is because what you said just now, people are scared to put stuff out because of social media.
So social media, right? And the internet. That because it works for us and against us.
Right, it works mm-hmm. for us and against us in mad crazy ways because mm-hmm. if you think about it, like, everybody's trying to be like a perfectionist now when it comes to like putting out memes or different things like that. So mm-hmm. it kind of discourages people that, one, don't know or don't like know how to look and research. I mean, it's 2018, Google exists and it's everybody mm-hmm. friend, but still, there's some people that don't know how to use a mouse, you feel me? Mm-hmm. So you can't judge them for that. Like, it's just not being able to change with the time. And it's kind of, it's weird. It's like a catch 22 because it gives you access to everybody's thoughts if you're willing to put your thoughts out there. But it also kind of like puts pressure on you to look your, to wear your Sunday best. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can't think about, people don't understand, like, when they see IG videos and shit like that, it's not like a 1, 2, 3 mm-hmm. thing. Like, on those shits for hours, mm-hmm. days, weeks. Like, so it's discouraging. It's discouraging at some point, but I don't know, bro.
Well, it's about that whole phase of working in the dark. What, how does the quote go? It's not what you see in the dark. It's what you do in the dark that comes to light. And that's for a positive and a negative, because the more practice, the way how I take it is, the more practice or how much prep you do at home from a DJ's perspective. I'm giving you from DJ's perspective. I think we just lost Lamar. Oh, there you go. There you go.
Here, bro.
I think I'll tell you from a DJ's perspective. I'm gonna be at home and I'm gonna be practicing. I'm gonna be going through my music. I'm gonna be studying my music. I'm gonna be learning everything about the craft and just trying to be better at the craft. But nobody sees the hours that are put in beforehand. It's always what happens when I go to. Oh, hold on. We definitely lost you, bro. We definitely lost you. There we go.
No, I'm here.
All good. But what I was saying is, everybody only sees what happens when you do hit that wedding, you do hit that club, you do hit that party, and you're in front of the crowd. Nobody sees the hours of prep of putting in your crates together. But you know, you never learn to do this stuff until you're in the line of fire and you're like, oh, I should have prepped for this. I should have prepped for that. I'm not ready. My knives aren't sharp. So then you go back home and then you go ahead and you sharpen your knives to get ready for combat again. And I think you could say as an artist yourself, you have to do the same thing, right?
Yeah, honestly and truly, you definitely got to be prepped. Like, even when it comes to stuff like performing and stuff like that, you feel me? Or not even performing. When it gets to the studio, like, before I go to the studio, bro, people think, like, it's just 1, 2, 3. But before I go to the studio, I write my song down, and then I say it to myself about 1,000 times, you feel what I'm saying? Before I actually finally go put it out or even record it, you feel what I'm saying? So preparation definitely is necessary when it comes to everything. And that's what I'm saying, it varies the effect that it will have, because it should be motivational. It should tell you, like, one, you can do it, but it's also, like, discouraging, because when you see a lot of people are, like we said earlier, complacent. You feel me? So if you're used to that type of culture, you're not going to be willing to go out there and put in all that time to really get us.
I think that's more of what you got to find what your passion is, because and there's a couple stuff in the chat I just want to get you. Let me just get this thought off real quick. I think it comes down to your passion, because if you are 100% passionate about what you do and you believe in it 100%, you won't care about that. You push through all of that. Like, you just have to keep pushing forward. And if it's not you'll know when it's not your passion. You'll know when it's not. When you get that feeling and you're saying, oh, I don't know if I could push forward through this, because this is not what I want. All of this negativity is coming down on me. Nah, this is not for me. But it's once you push forward past that and you overcome obstacle and over obstacle, and then you're like, okay, that's my passion. That's what I should be doing. So go into the chat. Jen says, you have to keep the peace. There's assertive peace and aggressive peace. If aggressive peace was the answer, then we would have been straight up after the world wars. That was a flop. Assertive peace is making a stand and outsmarting the system. Acting like Alex says, that's for sure. They quick to judge the video, but they don't appreciate the amount of videos it took just to put that one together. The amount of editing takes to create. Jen says, one, buy your beats. Two, write your songs. Three, practice how you want it. Four, go to the studio and record everything in one go. If you practice, it takes time and money. 100%. Oh, 100%. He also says, performing is a learning process. Try different things until you get certain reactions. See what kind of crowd you're around. You could tell when people are similar, then you can just use that to your advantage. I just want to piggyback off of that real quick. That goes with DJing as well. You have to put yourself in front of the crowd, and you got to get beat up a few times and then realize, okay, this didn't work the last time. Let me not do that again. Or seeing something and saying, yo, okay, that worked. Let me do it again. Because as human beings, we're creatures of habit. We're going to do the same thing the next time and the time after that.
It's like Mike Rapp will say, it's the Instagramification of the world, bro. It's that instant gratification that niggas is looking for. Like, they think the first time you do it, you're just going to be incredible at it. There's no way in hell. Like, I wrote my first fucking rhyme in 2011. You feel what I'm saying? And I didn't think it was the greatest shit on earth, but I was still shocked. Like, yo, nah, I wrote that. You feel me?
Yeah.
But, like, the shit I will make now, there's no way in hell I could have made it back then, or there's no way in hell I could have made it a year ago or 2 years ago, or none of that. You feel me? Because I had to go through the experiences and the trial and error that I went through personally in my life to be able to come to the point where I could even put something together like that, to be able to come to the point where I'm writing and I'm hearing a beat and I'm just like, the shit is just flowing. You feel me? And I'm done with the song in like 20 minutes and the shit is fire. You feel me? It really takes a lot of hard work and dedication, and that's the part where a lot of people get it fucked up.
It's a process. It's a process. Yeah. And you don't fall in love. I listen to like Gary Vee, Eric Thomas, a lot of those guys, and they always say you don't fall in love with what the outcome is. You fall in love with the process. And you only fall in love with the process once the process is your passion. When it comes down to this music stuff, yeah, I'm working 7 days a week with this stuff. But I don't get tired from it because I love what I'm doing. I love it. Like, it makes me feel good. let me go to the chat real quick. Jen says people love spontaneous. Why can't I speak right now? Spontaneity. Yeah. Acting like Alex. Oh, shout out to Quality Time. That polish. Oh, thank you. Thank you, man. Appreciate you. 100%. What was I saying? Yeah, just like you said, I like that term you use. Instagram. What did you say? Instagramification? Instagramification. I like that because it's what I think about it. Like, I look at a lot of Instagram comedians, it looks like they pop up out of nowhere, right? But it's always one video. All it takes is one video. Same thing as an artist. All it takes is one song. But we see it.
The funny thing is they got some, like, I think it's a YouTube show that's like before I made it.
Before they were famous.
No, not before they was famous. It's the day I went viral. Some shit like that. Like, talk to you about like what led up to them becoming viral. Or putting out whatever viral piece of content made them a celebrity. And they always said the same thing. Like, yo, it just happened out the blue. Like, it just, like, my phone just started blowing up. Like, I made the shit, I put it down, I went to sleep with some shit, and my phone just started blowing up, and that was it. You feel me? So when people hear that, they like, oh, shit, I'm going to just do it.
It's going to work.
Understand until that person you looking at, until it's their birthday, and they create that video like, yo, I can't believe all that I've been through.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, oh, shit. Like, look, this nigga was skinny. Like, you feel, like, you feel me? Stuff like that. So it's like people don't care about the grind, as sad as it is, which is crazy because when you watch a movie, the most interesting part is what? The grind before you get to the finale. You feel what I'm saying?
You want to see where the person came from.
Right.
Yeah.
So who the fuck doesn't want the,
you
want
to see, like, what built them into what they are now. Like, you want to see the process. And, like, just like, dang, just lost my train of thought. Hold on. You want to see the process. It's so much going on. It's such a good topic, man. It's such a good topic. But, you know, like you said, people want to see that process until they have to be part of the process. It's one of those things that I realized. Like, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. If you're not built for it. But you always just still got to trust the process no matter who it is or what it is. The process, like I said before, the process is what you fall in love with at the end of the day. I kind of lost my train of thought just now. I'm going to be honest.
I'm going to keep it a buck. The whole people loving the process or people not loving the process, just the end result. That's with everything. That's with culture, too. Like, you see the people that want to act like us, but when it comes time to get treated like us, it's like, yo, but you feel me? I'm going to just leave it right there. So. Sorry about that. That was my Scotty Beam moment.
I respect it. I see what you did. Shout out to everybody that's tuned in right now, man. We really appreciate you guys. Your voice on the show really counts. We appreciate all of your thoughts and opinions. Seriously, it means a lot. But you know, I'm gonna bring it back full circle back to Stan Lee because I'm really trying to remember what my thought was on that, and it really is bugging me out right now.
We spoke about Stan Lee and his effect on the culture and how
Instagramification and then the Instagram comedian. So I wanted to use Shiggy as an example. Like, you look at Shiggy, who this year, shout out to him, just like went crazy. But people didn't realize he had 1 million followers before he was even verified on Instagram.
Right.
Like, he was been making videos since, like, I think he was doing it since Vine days, man. And
yo,
like,
it's a lot of Vine nigga. Even like King Vader nigga, the SDC world, the RDC world niggas, the who else? Caleb Digital, all of them came from Vine. And now, like, older now, and they growing up on Gram, and it's kind of like natural progression. Mm-hmm. But you also can't blame people because not everybody fucked with Vine. You feel me? So.
It wasn't about the Vine though. It was about the person and the content they put out because they were able to go to another platform.
True.
And that's the whole that's the passion thing.
I mean with people not understanding the hard work. that came before.
Okay, yeah.
Because not a lot of people even had Vine like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Let me see. Acting like Alex, but people don't know he been grinding. That's a fact, bro.
Yeah. Yo, he's been doing this for years and years. And you get a shot, you take it, and you run with it. All it takes is one video. It takes one thing. What else he said? Even I was on my way up in Vine, and at that time, I didn't know how to transition from Vine to IG. I had a couple K followers on IG. Yeah, and I think that is a hard thing to do, to be able to go to a whole new platform and be able to readjust and learn the system and then do it over. You know, but it's a matter of, are you taking it and are you doing it and are you going to pull through? Because there's a lot of people who went on Vine, got their buzz, tried to make it on IG and just gave up. Can't give up. Just keep pushing forward.
They just couldn't understand. And I mean, it is kind of different, mm-hmm. but it's similar. It's just how you end up freaking the system. Well, like look, I posted mm-hmm. the other day, I said, like, it's the game of life, right? So mm-hmm. if there's cheat codes in games, there's cheat codes in life. You just got to find.
Exactly. It's all a game at the end of the day, man. Like, we can't, when it comes to everything that you do beyond the entertainment art, if you're working at a company, it's all a game and you just got to figure out how to play. Life is just about figuring things out and then conquering it and then getting to the next step and figuring out what's going to happen next. And if you want to, my whole thing is, if you want to do something, you want to be something, you know, in the back of your mind, you want to do it, push forward and do it, because you don't know who that is going to affect. If you want to be the CEO at your company, go and do it. Like,
right.
I'm not telling you quit your job. I'm telling you go and do it. Like, please just go and do it and don't make excuses.
What the fuck you got to do? You first and foremost, the first step is look up what you need to do it.
Don't yeah.
Yo. A lot of niggas be like, yo, I wanna, but don't even know the first step to becoming. Mm-hmm. Like, the first step is figuring out what the fuck you need to do.
And you can find out, like, just going on Google while you on the toilet taking a crap and just Google it. Like, there's Google no you can't make any excuses anymore. So acting like Alex says, and that brings back to being uncomfortable. I felt like that was my time to be uncomfortable and I froze up. I didn't understand adaptation back then. Wow, like, I read that and it's just like, damn, like, that's what it is. You freeze up. Instead of freezing up, I had to grind. People freeze up. They don't know what to do next.
Like, deer in the headlights type mm-hmm. shit. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, oh shit, something's coming. I see it. There's mm-hmm. no way I could stop it. Do I get out the way or do I try to, you feel what I'm saying?
Sometimes you got to crash and burn to learn though, man.
Yeah, facts. Mm-hmm. But it's all a learning process. However mm-hmm. you do figure it out, you figure it out. But mm-hmm. once you do, all that time and effort that you put in before is going to matter. That's why you should never give up, especially if you started. Like, what do you have? What does anybody have to lose? Like, trying to, unless you're dreaming of being a fucking pedophile. Sorry. What I'm saying? Like, your dream is to be pedophile in 2018. You feel me?
Then you need help.
Kill yourself.
Yeah, but you need help.
Else, go for it. Like, who's stopping you? Mm. Who? Literally stop me. Ooh, the way I look at, the only reason why I could even get on stage, the reason why I could record a song, write a song, tell myself like, yo, I'm about to be this, tell other people I'm this and have them believe in me, is because I don't give a fuck. Who's gonna stop me?
But you feel what I'm saying? I think that also goes to, you've been in it for so long to the point where nothing can stop you now, where you can't even stop yourself.
That too, because people gonna be batteries in my back. You feel what I'm saying? People, if I ever think I could slack off, my older brother might hit me up like, yo, what's good with the new music? Yo, what movements you been? Or my man see me, yo, what's up? And in the back of my head, I'm be like, fuck, did I grind today? You feel what I'm saying? Did I really move toward my dreams today? Or did I dedicate all my energy towards somebody else's shit? Work. Feel what I'm saying? And so
that's a moment when you could either freeze up or move from that. Somebody could hit you and be like, yo, what a new music at? And you could just be like, I don't know. But nah, it's good that you are able to look and self-assess and say, oh, did I grind today? Did I do that? And I think in this 2018 social media era, we fail to self-assess sometimes. We fail to look at what we are doing and understand if what we're doing is the right thing to do. So we continue to make the mistakes. And
it, a lot of the times, it's other people that we look to to make those assessments for us. Look at Boom. You feel what I'm saying? Boom ever stopped and was like, yo, what am I doing right now? He would have been able to change that shit before he almost died.
Yeah.
It took him dying to step back and say, yo, I'm wilding. Look at the niggas that's around me. Look at the niggas that's egging me on to kill my fucking self. You feel me? So it's different factors that make you catch a self-assessment, or you might just be the person to be like self-aware or like mindful. You feel what I'm saying? And if that's the case, blessings to you, but not majority of people don't got that. And if you are that, it's up to you to try to teach that to everybody else, because it's necessary. It's very necessary, bro.
100%. Like, I think too, when it comes to self-assessment as well, is you have to be put in those positions, like where you do crash that we talked about, and to be able to take that and say, yo, did I put my all into this, or did I just put in like a little bit? Like, there's been times when I first started DJing where I froze up at events, had the mic in my hand, and like, I didn't know what to say. And I'll never forget this one event. My boy literally took the mic out my hand because I just stood there with the mic at my mouth, not knowing what to say. But now you put me in an event, you put me at a party, I'm going to do it because I took that and said, I'm never having that happen to me again. That is never happening. And it was because of the passion that I had of where I know I want to go that pushed me forward. There's been times in my head where I have to lock in and say, yo, if I want to get to that point, I have to overcome that boundary. I have to overcome that fear. I have to push forward, because in order for me to get there, I have to pass that. And I can pass that because I've done it in the past before. So that's how I always see it.
And that's part of revolution, bro. That's real shit. Because like we said earlier, no revolution is ever peaceful, bro. No revolution, bro. Even
talk about
if you want to use like childhood analogies, damn, this airplane loud as shit. Close to Queens. Reporting live. Facts, reporting live. That's it. But, like, if you want to be on some childhood analogy, like, think about the butterfly, like, you feel what I'm saying? The cocoon process and the process of becoming a butterfly from a caterpillar is fucking destructive as shit. Like, it's a whole life discipline and creating a new life that's better. You feel what I'm saying? So it's all if you a gym head, like my boy D, like, if you want your muscle shit, think about it, like, when you're building muscle, what are you doing? You're destroying it.
Absolutely. So
itself, and when it rebuilds itself, it gets stronger and bigger. You feel me? Absolutely. You have to go through lows to see the highs, bro. It's just, if you give up at the low, then that's where the fuck you're staying. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, just to bring it back full circle with Stan Lee, I'm sure he's had those times when things didn't go as planned and things didn't work out. And hold on. So Jen says, I just want to go real quick. Jen says, mental health is important. That's why the topic on my next podcast is Mountain Be Thy Be. Oh, man, I closed it again. I closed the chat again, man.
And I closed it too. But I seen Jen definitely say mental health is important. Yeah,
100%. I do want to bring up, too, when it comes to this entertainment game recently, and we got about like 5 minutes left, but recently I do want to bring up the mental health thing and how it does exist amongst the entertainment industry and amongst our youth too, and it's something that isn't talked about. And I feel like growing up we had outlets to express the way how our mental health was, such as the comic books, such as songs that we would listen to, or we would create our own superheroes, these things in our head that we were like, yo, I'm gonna draw this out because this is who I want to be. But now I feel there isn't a lot of outlets. The only thing that we really have to go to now is Netflix and social media. And sometimes that could be very, very destructive for the youth, where sometimes they turn to other things like drugs.
Even riding a bicycle, bro.
Even
riding your bike as a kid with your friends, that's an outlet for you to, like, release stress, to have fun and shit. You don't even see little kids riding bikes no more, bro. Everything's so... It's like we're moving so far away from humanity and nature that we're becoming almost like fucking computers, bro. Like, we become like emotionless, like soulless beings that's only concerned with making the algorithm work. That's only concerned with becoming famous. You feel me? Figuring out how to crack the code to become the top in whatever, to become the most popular, to like, it's not about like self-awareness no more. It's not about mental health. It's not about bettering ourselves as a people. None of that. You feel what I'm saying? Everything done changed. And I don't know if it'll ever change back. I don't know if it's going to get worse. I don't know if it's going to get better. But I know right now it's nothing like what I used to know.
100%. 100%, man. Acting like Alex says, we are our cell phones are simulations of ourselves. Jen says, facts. People aren't robots. God controls it all, so it makes sense to follow the true leader. Acting like Alex says, Elon Musk interview, he said we are, in a way, AI. Just want to go to something that Acting Like Alex says, where he says we are phones are simulations of ourselves. Was something that recently I did on social media, was I started cleaning out who I followed. There's a quote, I don't know the exact quote, but it goes something like, you look at your seven closest friends and that's who you are. I feel like it's the same way when it comes to social media. Who you follow, because we're looking at it so many hours and so many times out the day. By all means, go ahead. But what you're putting in, you got to think about, is food. It's like food that you eat. If you continuously eat McDonald's every day, eventually you're going to get sick. Your body's going to be worn down. It's not going to work the same way. I think it's the same thing about what you consume via social media. What you said?
Real shit, bro. Yeah. Real shit. You know, funny thing is, that's part of the reason why I unfollowed a lot of these IG hoes. Keep it a buck.
Yep.
A lot of IG models and shit, bitches that don't do nothing but just show their bodies off. Sorry. Women that don't do anything, don't show their body off. Please don't me to me. I apologize. You feel what I'm saying? But that's the reason why I unfollowed a lot of them. You feel me? Because I'm thinking about it. If I'm seeing this 95% of the day, I'm going to get desensitized to what's actually around me.
Exactly.
You feel me? I'm going to be thinking that's a normal perception of beauty, and it's really not. Those girls don't even look like that when they go home and go to sleep. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, we don't even know the damage that we're doing to our mental slowly. It's like a long-term, like, knife wound or something. Like, it's just digging deeper day by day, day by day. You feel what I'm saying? And eventually it gets to the point where you're dead inside, or, like, you're fucking 30 years old and you don't know why. Or not 30. That's young as shit. You're like 40, 50, 45, 50 years old and you don't know why none of your personal relationships work. You're lonely. You're by yourself. But the whole time you've been training yourself to be a lonely-ass nigga because you've been staring at your phone for 20 hours a day. You feel what I'm saying?
Like, and I feel like that also hurts people trying to move forward, trying to do something with their lives, because they see success and they see, oh, I want to be a rapper, but I'm seeing all of this stuff out here that's making me feel like I can't do it because it's already there. I can't do that. So I just want to bring it back to, like, who you follow becomes who you are. It becomes who you are on social media. It becomes who you, what you want to see, especially with the algorithms. If you continuously stop and look at female models or fight videos or just stupidity on IG, IG is going to continue to give you that because they want you to stay on their platform. They want you to see it.
You're. I'm not even gonna say. You know what I'm saying? Just know that Instagram loves it that you're on their app 24/7. You feel what I'm saying? They love it. And the more you do it, the more they're going to keep feeding your ass. And whatever the fuck you eat is what you are what you eat, right?
Yeah.
You're consuming content.
They're going to continue to serve that.
So I hope this content that we giving you right now is some motherfucking T-bone steak.
I hope so.
A1 fat shit. You know what I'm talking about? Like a big fat shit.
Well, right. Just to go through the last couple of comments we got. Jen says, that makes sense slightly. The spiritual beings use our bodies like vehicles and sometimes control things using their phone. Good talk. 100%. Acting Like Alex says, let's talk about it. Podcast coming soon at Acting Like Alex. Word, man. Go ahead, man. Make it happen. Hit us up. Let's work. Let's work, man. Acting Like Alex says. Yeah, he. I respect it. I respect it. That means we... I respect it. He's like, yo, I'm going to get it done. Let's make it happen.
This nigga Jin run me through the plug out too.
Yo, we told them go out and get it. Like, go, get it in, son. That's
at least somebody got something. Out
facts,
of
exactly.
But remember, the point of Quality Time TV is what? To be a platform where a bunch of different creators could come together. Absolutely. And express their thoughts. I'm gonna keep it a buck. Mm-hmm. We might have some opportunities available for you, bro. Both Absolutely. You and Jen, bro.
Yo,
so just I'm gonna put
it out there right now in this episode, because there's other people who be listening on YouTube, SoundCloud, whatever it is. Quality Time is an open platform. Hit us up. Let's talk. Let's right. talk.
We open
That's business. It.
It Let's is Trump's talk. America, nigga.
Let's talk. Acting Like Alex says, it's y'all fault. That makes us feel good, though, man. That's what we wanted to get out of this episode. We wanted y'all to understand that. And don't thank us, man. Don't thank me. This is Stan Lee, man. That if it wasn't God rest his soul, because if it wasn't for that happening today, we would probably wouldn't be talking about this right now. And the fact that his energy transferred into us and now transferred into you, boom. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Stan Lee, sleep in power, bro.
Absolutely.
We'll see you later. Trust me, we're going to chop it up.
100%. We're going to work. So we got a couple clips for y'all. Don't leave yet. Got a couple more Stan Lee clips. But yo, thank you all for tuning in, man. We really appreciate y'all. What's up? So, we definitely going to check the podcast out. So check out the rest of the clips, y'all. And that's it. Peace.
Later.
Oh, I guess one person can make a difference. Enough said.
A man drank one of those Guarana sodas. Guess it had a little more kick than he was looking for.
Wow. I am so fired.
Are you Tony Stank?
Yes, this is Tony Stank.
Me come down there, you punk.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Marjorie, how are you? How's your mother? Oh, man. Anyway, before I was so rudely interrupted, at that time, I was a Federal Express man.
Hey, fellas. Hey, wait, where are you going? Hey, you were supposed to be my lift home. How will I get out of here? Hey, I've got so many more stories to tell. Oh, guys. Oh, gee.
I'm doing what I enjoy doing. It's like other men like to play golf, so they play golf every chance they can. So you don't say to them, how come you're playing golf today? You played last week. It was the same with me. To me, it is such fun creating characters, writing stories. It's an exciting life, And when you do something that you know the fans seem to enjoy, that gives you such satisfaction, you don't want to stop. Being interested in what you're doing. I know my father, the poor guy, it was during the Depression and he was out of work most of the time. So his life was shorter, and it was because there was nothing really that he was doing that could interest him. But I think if you do what really excites you, it just keeps you going as long as possible. Believe it or not, I almost never have been stuck on anything. Writing comes very easily to me. Everything else in the world is tough, but writing, I don't have any problem with that. I can't write fast enough to keep up with the things I want to say. I think whatever you do, you should do what you most want to do and what you're best at. Too many people don't really do what their heart's desire is, but they try to do something else because they think, well, it'll be easier to get a job or to make money. And if that happens, then when you're doing it, you feel like you're working. But if you do what you really want to do, you feel like you're playing. It's easier for you to do. I know I wanted to be a musician when I was young, but I had no talent for it. If I had wasted time trying to be a musician, I'd have either been a failure or I'd have been just an ordinary musician. But I love writing also, and it came easier to me, so I figured I'd stay with that. I think you have to do what you do best and what you enjoy. And I began to realize that entertainment is very important in people's lives. Most people, almost everybody, have lives that have problems and troubles and things to worry about. And if you can entertain somebody, take his or her mind off the things that would normally be bothering them, that's a good thing to do. Mostly, I've just enjoyed everything I've been doing, and I think my professional life has been a source of much pleasure for me.